Sustaining it live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Come in, Rita Steele.
Kia ora, how are you?
Good.
Staying dry?
Yeah, well, it hasn't been too bad right here in the heart of Tamaki Makaurau. I know that you're out west, so maybe you've seen a bit more rain than... Obviously, there's a bit of rain, but nothing quite like what we saw 2 weeks ago on that Friday.
No, we've so far been pretty good. It's a bit windier here now, though, so I've heard that it's going to pick up in the next sort of 12 hours, so
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
Rick Breeze, our weather person here at 95BFM, said that between 11 tonight and 1 a.m. in the morning is when we're going to see the most wind out of the south, apparently. It's coming from the south.
Yeah, it's a southerly, isn't it? So
yeah.
Although I'm looking at my flag here and it's blowing. What is north? North? Oh, it's all over the place.
Now, Rita, we need some good news because it's been a crazy week. Have you got some good news
I'm
for us?
I'm not the person for it.
Oh, shit.
Tony, you should know this. Oh, no.
This is like the good. This is the good. Environment news segment. What? Okay, what are we talking about this afternoon?
I got brief wrong. So I thought that I'd just talk about, given that climate change is sort of everyday vernacular these days, and a few weeks ago we were off air for various holidays, but the top emitters of New Zealand were announced, so I thought we could have a quick chat about those.
The top emitters, we're talking methane and... carbon and all that sort of stuff.
Things leaching in the
ground. So top greenhouse gas emissions. And just so listeners know, a lot of the time we will look at like carbon dioxide, and that's I guess the one that we worry about the most. But a lot of the time we will also look at like carbon equivalents. So things like methane. There's a bunch of others as well, but the big ones. The big one for New Zealand in particular is methane, and we've got quite a different greenhouse gas profile because our emissions from agriculture make up almost 50% of our emissions versus most other countries, which are about 12%. So it's not a really interesting profile. And one of the reasons why methane is quite interesting is because it's got a shorter life than carbon dioxide. So it lasts a lot, like much, much shorter in the atmosphere, but it heats a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, when we talk a lot, about not eating as much meat and the reason, and dairy, and the reason that that means so much is because methane is so good at heating up the atmosphere that it buys us time if we cut that out.
Yes.
Because it's kind of like lives for a shorter period, but heats up a lot faster and a lot more. So it's a good one to sort of cut out, which is why we talk about it so much.
Here's the thing, though. We talk about eating less meat and drinking less milk in Aotearoa, but we export 45 million people's worth of food annually. You know, apparently,
that's a fuck ton, right?
Yeah, like most of our stuff goes overseas. We're producing for foreign markets. It's not actually the people here in New Zealand which are the problem.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And if you look at like emissions for energy. Or electricity, I should say, they're actually pretty low because of our renewable sources that we're getting them from. So we've got some really good news stories around how we live, but we've also got, we could do some better. And it's interesting that they talk about that 45 million, like, people's worth of food, because a lot of it is dairy. There's some meat, but, you know, a ton of it is dairy. And some of it, you know, you think about how much money is pumped into countries, convincing women to go back to work, which means that they don't have the capacity to breastfeed because they're forced back to work really quickly. There's a lot of publicity money that's pumped into countries going, you know, formula feed. So I think there's that, you know, we feed 45 million people is a little bit of a kind of a PR piece, if you know what I mean. Like, if we stopped producing so much milk, there's not going to be like this drop off of, you know, of people because they don't have food. It's a kind of a luxury. We supply luxury food, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, so Fonterra tops the list of the number one.
The list, yeah. So, but I did just want to pull out, like, why this matters, because I see this online a lot, and when I'm having conversations with people, and it's kind of heartbreaking, because a lot of people say, like, why does what we do matter? when you've got like India or China or the United States like pumping out, you know, like what we do, it's 0.17% of the world's emissions. Like, why does it matter if we like halve ours? It doesn't really matter. And I guess, you know, I think personally that what we need to be looking at is sort of our per capita use. Like, if we're going to be global citizens, our per capita use, borders are kind of bullshit, you know. Like, you can't say this country uses more. Well, their population and their land mass is huge. So you, the only way that we can look at it at this is by giving ourselves a, like, personal budget, even if we don't necessarily track it down to that level. But I think, like, sort of pointing at a giant country that's got, you know, 50 times more land mass and saying, look, they're using more than us is really irresponsible and kind of just, you know, a pretty bullshit argument. We use 3 times more emissions than we are entitled to from a per capita base. So,
simply through no reliable public transport and eating red meat? Is it that simple?
No, I mean, the list is quite telling, to be honest. So we'll crack into that. So the top polluters revealed by the EPA, so Environmental Protection Agency, and the top 10 make up 50% of our emissions. So, you know, this is very telling. So number one, can you guys take a guess? Seriously?
Oh, sorry.
Can I what?
Could you take a guess at number one?
Oh, it's Fonterra.
Yeah, I would reckon it'd be Fonterra too.
Yeah, and then the petrochems.
Fonterra.
Yeah.
Yeah. So second year in a row, we've just talked about methane and the you know, the heating capacity of methane.
Yeah.
The other thing is that when we were like, we're moving away from all these like bad kind of energy sources, yet we were giving, as a country, we were giving Fonterra these weird like resource consents to build coal burning facilities.
That's how they make milk powder. They produce milk powder via burning coal.
It's so bizarre. So that is just a massive no-no. And also, like we say, the methane from cows and whatnot. And just trucking, it's just huge. And then the next category, the number 2, 3, and 4, Z's, BP and Mobil.
Mm-hmm.
So no major surprises there. I mean, oil is something. And look, I mean, there's major problems with EVs, so I'm not going to be like, EVs are the solution. But that particular category is one that we can see decline in, I think, over time, right? Number 3 is Silver Fern Farms.
Yes.
Ooh, so neat. We've talked a lot about this and probably don't need to talk anymore about
I do love
about
a good steak, but I shouldn't eat as many. Yep. Okay.
Number 4 is the Todd Group. So they do a lot of gas drilling. And gas, I always thought gas was kind of like a really efficient use of like heating things up, like, you know, like water or apparently not so much. So that's interesting, you know, that there's better ways of using energy rather than making it through gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a couple of meat production companies in the next group, so AFCO and Alliance Group. So again, meat production, and then OV Group, which is oil mining, the oil industry, and then finally Genesis Energy. So that's the coal plant that's in Huntly. That's the killer there. So I mean, I look at that group and I go, man, we can fix those things. You know, I mean, you don't have to cut out meat completely. It's that export piece, right? So how do we now, like, the biggest challenge when I look at that list is, you know, how do we fill that income gap for the country without producing meat and dairy? And it is a big challenge. But you look at, like, you know, Fonterra, like, our dairy industry in the 90s was most times more profitable than they are today with less inputs. So
do you have a call that you'd be prepared to make as to how we cut these industries down to producing for only 5 million people and we still turn a profit as a country?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I've looked, you know, I worked a lot on dairy farms when I was at university, and we looked at a lot of economic modelling. And like I say, there was this point of, like, you know, diminishing returns that actually was hit in the 90s and then went downhill from there, where there was less cows per hectare on farms and they were actually making more money. And then when they started like pumping more cows in, they were having to then put more inputs into the land, so more fertilizer, more, you know, waste disposal, all that sort of thing. So, you know, I think maybe just looking at, and of course that was driven a lot by fertilizer companies and banks wanting to like, yeah, you should totally get this new capital expenditure built on your property. So I think, you know, smart use of economic models to go, hey, guys, you're actually making more with less. You know, and this is the sweet spot here. Like, I don't necessarily think we're doing a great job with that. And I think that there's probably some work to do there. And then the other ones are kind of, you know, I mean, like...
Petrochemical? Are we talking about just driving less, walking more, cycling more?
Yeah, exactly.
Can we do it that way?
People are so aware of that. You know, people are trying. I know they are. They're working from home. They're biking. They're thinking about an EV. They're thinking, do I need to go to that place? Like, I know, talking to people, that is it's on your everyday person's mind, you know. So I think the tipping point has come for some of these things naturally anyway. And same with the meat consumption internally. A lot of people are going, well, like, one, I can't afford, you know, three meats a day like I used to be able to. So I think some of this is going to happen naturally, but we probably need a little bit more of a push with some of this other stuff, you know, like the production of meat and dairy and where it doesn't make sense anymore to maybe scale back. And we need an alternative, though, a way of making income.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, because I imagine, well, like, farmers are going to get, like, absolutely butthurt over the fact that, oh, you're telling us to stop making money from all this shit and we still have a house and land to, you know, finish paying off. Yeah, I imagine they're going to be like that.
Yeah. All right.
I remember when I was working on a farm once, and the farmer was telling us about how he was, you know, definitely encouraged by the fertilizer companies, because the more cows he had, the more fertilizer he had to buy. And then, of course, the bank was willing to lend money X, like, okay, you've got X amount of land, you can put X, and they just had a formula, you can put X amount of stock on your land. And there was no, like, nuance about the land or the steepness or anything. It was kind of, it was really brutal. I don't think it would be like that these days. This was probably 5 years ago. And the farmer said, you know, I want to stock my land as much as I can, because, and I was sort of asking, like, why? And he was like, because this is all I've got to hand down to my kids. And I was like, yeah, but the generation is going to be left with this environmental mess. And he said to me, from Auckland, and I said, yeah. And he said, have you ever renovated a house for, or have you ever thought about renovating a house for capital gain? And I thought, yeah, totally. I like the idea of buying a house and renovating and selling it for money. And he was like, well, that's all I'm trying to do. And it was a real wake-up call for me, because I was like, yeah, this is their way of, like, getting more off their land than they're currently getting. So I think it's only human nature. It's just that the stress it was putting on him and his community to keep up with these million-dollar mortgages, like multi-million-dollar mortgages, and you know, was actually not very nice. And he was recognising that as well, and saying, then selling on to these big corporate farms, and then these cows were dying because there was no, you know, generational farmers at the pub anymore to talk to each other. You know, so it's a complicated issue, and I think New Zealand needs to get behind farmers to fix it.
For sure. All right. Rita, hey, thank you very much for more good news this evening.
Thank you.
sorry, guys.
I hope that you weathered the storm okay tonight.
And same everyone out there. Do what you can. Sandbags are your friend, I think.
We'll check in with you in a couple of weeks' time. Okay, bye.
Sounds good. See ya. Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.